It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
Wow. Didn't see that one coming. What's up? What's happening? I am Craig Hoffman here on the Take Command postgame show, and that is Kevin Sheehan with us today with Logan on the road in Arizona. Sheehan, that appeared to be a well-coached, good football team. Here we are, 4 weeks into the season, 3-1. Wow. That's instant reaction show. Instant reaction. Wow.
Instant reaction. Wow. God, that was impressive. I mean, and what makes it more impressive is NFL teams don't go on short weeks, you know, on a long road trip, and they win sometimes, but they don't annihilate the opponent, and they don't look that sharp most times. So that was a well-coached team. The best player on the field plays the most important position, and he plays for Washington, Jaden Daniels. But they dominated in so many different ways. And, you know, last week when they beat Cincinnati, I said that's going to be a conversation changer about this year for some people. I think this is more of a conversation changer because of just how dominant it was. I mean, yeah. Arizona after the first drive never really had a shot. Never.
No, they responded to adversity. Yeah. They give up another opening drive touchdown. Okay, fine. The defense. Are we gonna hang our heads and be like, oh, here we go, another shootout? Nope. They're gonna step up and play their best game of the year by far. Jaden finally makes a mistake. He throws a pick. Okay, fine. I'll bounce back and we'll put up 42 points, the most since 2016. By the way, this is the first time they've scored 30 back to back since weeks 10 and 11 of the 2017 season.
Oh yeah.
So that's
going to say it's the most points in it's the first time they've gone 38 or more in back-to-back weeks since 91. That cool. Team was pretty good.
Yeah. I do think their season ended nicely if I do recall my history. They just a thoroughly dominant performance against a team, by the way. Like, I will fully admit, I will eat the crow because I picked Arizona and said I hope I'm wrong. There's a very good chance. Like, I didn't feel good about it. But there was some stuff that Arizona did in those first 3 weeks. I mean, they played Detroit really tough last week. They slaughtered the Rams a couple weeks ago. They played hard defensively. And I think what's crazy, Kevin, is this felt like Washington broke their spirit. Jonathan Gannon's a good head coach. Like, in the same mold that Dan is. Defensive-minded, has his guys playing tough. They're fast. They're physical. You know, he has instilled a play style there. And so much of what Washington wants to do this year, I think, in some level mirrors what Arizona did last year. I think Washington's got a little bit more talent, and obviously they played the first part of last year without Kyler Hurt, and Jaden is playing out of his mind. But to say, like, hey, all these things that we are now through 4 weeks familiar with of what Dan wants to see, and the fan base that is truly locked in and paying attention to that can see it, to take another team who believes the same things and just spiritually break them, that they are walking off the field, it's going, we didn't have a chance today, heads down, etc. Like, that is how impressive that performance was. And I think that's a good way to kind of characterize how special it was, is to break another team's spirit in the way that they did.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, you know, there was that opportunity at 14-7 with Arizona kind of with the ball near the end of the half, you know, in Washington territory, and they sacked them on 4th-and-1, and it's like, I mean, field goal, boom, opening drive, third quarter, it's over. You know, Detroit basically tried to take their spirit in the first half. They ran it right down their throat last week in the first half, scored touchdowns on 3 of the first 4 drives and had 20 in the first half, but it got sloppy. I didn't personally think Arizona was a very good defensive team based on what I watched coming in, so I thought they certainly could run it. But they did anything they wanted to do. It was so impressive. And it really started up front. They owned the line of scrimmage. They ran the football early. They had Arizona guessing on every formation, every down and distance. They were not consistent in terms of anything they've done recently. So there were no tells. They just had them off balance. I mean, Kingsbury's doing a really good job. Now, Arizona's not very good defensively. The Giants aren't very good defensively. Cincinnati was banged up defensively. They get Cleveland and Baltimore the next 2 weeks, the two best since week 1 defensive tests that they've had this year. Cleveland can't score, so that's good news. But I think that the biggest tests are coming up here for this offense, which in 2 weeks has punted once, 3 weeks punted once, excuse me, yeah. And has a pick. But in the last 2 weeks, they've scored on 13 of 15 drives. Over the last 3 weeks, they've scored on 20 of 25 drives.
And that includes two kneel downs at the end of the first half of the previous 2 weeks.
Was it 7 for 7 against the Giants? It was 7 for 7, right?
I believe so. Yeah,
13 for 13. So now today it was another. Yeah, they punted. They scored 5 touchdowns, 2 field goals, 7. So they scored on 7 and 9. So it's 20 of.
I was told there would be no math, Kevin. I was told.
20 of 22 drives they've scored on. That's insane. That doesn't happen in the NFL. NFL teams punt every once in a while.
They do. Crazy. They do. And I think the thing that stands out to me about how they're doing this offensively is Jaden is evolving week over week if you're conservative in your evaluation. At times feels like he's evolving quarter after quarter, drive after drive. I saw your tweet in the middle of the game about, don't believe the people that said he couldn't throw over the middle. And it's like, yeah, if you watch enough of his college tape, you see that he could do it, but he did not do it with the frequency that he is doing it now. He did not do it with the accuracy. Right. No, it was a different need.
Second down offense was so prolific that they didn't have the typical third and sevens where you throw the ball over the field, the middle of the field, the most, in terms of down and distance. But
100%. And why would you when you have your matchups on the outside that are neighbors who we see, if you had any doubt, just how good he is, Brian Thomas, just how good he is. But the point being, like, he is doing this at a really ridiculous clip for an NFL veteran, and he is doing it down in, down out this week. And, like, if you are going to beat Jaden Daniels, the formula would be, let's make him beat him, drop back pass in the pocket. If he does that as a rookie, then, like, we'll tip our caps. And he destroyed them from the pocket today. His ability to just sit back and be patient and read it out, his processing, which I know Orlovsky has been all over. He said that on our show, like, right before the draft. Like, I think he's the best processor in the draft. And I know Dan on ESPN this week said, I think he's processing it better than anyone in the league right now. And that's not supposed to happen for a rookie quarterback. And I know you said you didn't like what you saw from Arizona on tape, but, like, they do some complicated stuff. They have some zone match stuff and, like, some stuff that you just don't see in college that much. So this is why rookie quarterbacks get tripped up. It's not because they can't do it. It's because it's new. And when you haven't seen it before, sometimes it can trick you. And between Jaden's abilities, Cliff's ability to find the right formations and personnel groupings and all that stuff, to decode that stuff, and then everybody else just doing their job, like, they've got literally, outside of Buffalo, the most prolific offense in the NFL so far. I don't know what the numbers say after this weekend, but, like, as you just said, it's the first time they scored 38 2 weeks in a row since 1991. It's only the fourth week of the season. They've scored over 38 twice. Good luck finding superlative to describe an offense better than this outside the one that Josh Allen's had through 3 weeks, and we'll see, obviously, what he does tonight.
Yeah, and, it really started with being able to run the football tonight. And once they did that, we saw things introduced in a little bit more frequency. I mean, under center bootlegs, bootleg keepers, but bootlegs with options. I mean, all off season, I was like, God, he'd look great in Kyle's offense. And there they are running some zone with some bootleg with him under center. Running the football just made it even easier. And that's going to make it easier anyway, because he's a run threat. And so you got your quarterback as a run threat. I'm blown away. I was bullish, obviously, and very optimistic on him being the right pick, but I didn't expect this. I mean, through 4 weeks, he's legitimately now, at least on the periphery of an MVP conversation. That's not an exaggeration. He's completing 82% of his passes. I mean, that's insane through 4 weeks.
By the way, I don't know if you saw the graphic.
The last 2 games.
Yeah, you saw the graphic at the end of the game. They showed the 4 highest completion percentages in NFL history through 4 games. He is number 1, not for rookies. He's number one, period. It's him.
I missed that graphic.
Yeah.
Who's number two?
Brady was second. I can't remember what year it was. I think it was 22, maybe. It was one of his years with the maybe it was the last year in New England. Geno Smith in 22 was three, and Kyler's number four from 2021, which I think also then you go, wait, two of these things have something in common.
Yeah.
And that's Cliff. And yes, early he's getting insane completion percentages because they're throwing a zillion screens. But this week, I mean, they use some really well-timed screens and were able to get Robinson and Zacchaeus in space. Zacchaeus, one of his best days in a long time. I think it was 6 for 85. He was mad at himself that he didn't take that last one to the house. But, I mean, he ripped balls. I saw someone in the comment section being like, that throw to Luke was insane. That one, I literally got off the couch. I was just like, what was that?
That was my favorite throw of the day.
To throw off platform? Like, that is something that he showed at times at LSU.
He throws a lot off platform.
But not like that. Because that's the thing. It's like, he has a terrific arm. But he doesn't have Mahomes, Allen, you know, Caleb, like that arm talent. And if he starts figuring out that maybe I'm a lot closer to those guys than I thought and can do stuff like that and have that subtle movement in the pocket and then just hit a foot and let one rip, like, I don't know what you do with the guy. And I know that's hyperbolic in a way because like he's four games into his rookie season, but he has shown an ability to do everything. The consistency is the mark of greatness, not how good is your good, as your buddy Van Pelt often says, right? It's not how good is your good, it's how often can you produce it. But like so far, we're 3.5 for 4, if you will. So I'd say that's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, he's just such a threat from the pocket. And even when he's in the pocket, you have to be, you know, aware of his incredible feel, his great feet, his great vision. I mean, there was a scramble where it looked like he was dead and somehow he gets 6 yards. And that's not outside the pocket. That's inside the pocket. He creates more time in the pocket, which the great ones that didn't have the mobility did. I'm talking about Peyton and Brady and guys that really weren't runners. He does that in the pocket with great feel and great feet. And then outside the pocket, forget about it. And today was impressive. Today was really impressive because, again, this isn't what typically happens with an NFL team on a short week going on a long road trip. Now, they were out there all week. It's not like they came back and flew out Friday. Probably a good move. By the way, that doesn't happen with the old regime. That's got to be something that ownership's willing to pay for, which they were.
Yes.
And, you know, they're 3-1, and they got a Cleveland team coming in. Let's focus on today. Because the one thing that I was going to say is I know that people are going to be really excited that defensively they played better, and they did. I'm still concerned defensively. Kyler Murray from the pocket in a situation where he has to throw just isn't very good. He's just not a very good thrower from the pocket. He doesn't see it. He doesn't feel it. He holds it too long because he's short and he doesn't see it. Some of the same things we saw last year with Sam Howell. And he's much better outside the pocket. He's much better in a score that's in context where you've got a shot.
Of course.
That game got out of whack in the second half, and it got ugly for him. But they still struggled to stop the run. They got gashed over and over again by Connor and by the other guy, Benson, I think his name was. Is that the Texas back, Benson? No, Trey Benson.
I know there was Cedric Benson back in the day, but it is Trey Benson.
Yeah, it's Trey Benson.
Who went to Florida State.
So I'm still concerned about, you know, their run stopping. They've been gashed 3 weeks in a row, basically, really going back to the opener in the second half when Bucky Irving ran through them and Rashad White ran through them. Game got out of control there. I still think that they're susceptible to play action if somebody gets a running game going, but they didn't really take advantage of running the football early. And then what happened was there were some really good stops on first down, which created second down and long distance. That's the best thing they did. In that first half, they had 4 0-yard gains on first down after the first drive, and Arizona couldn't overcome it. So we saw the other team punt too, which was nice,
yeah.
Which hadn't happened in a couple of weeks either. So I'm still concerned, seriously concerned about the defense.
Yeah.
But there were some performances that were good. I actually can't wait to go back and watch just to see Forbes' snaps, because I actually thought he competed really well. And I thought both tackles played better tonight. And then Armstrong,
he had a game.
And even when he didn't get to him, he flushed him and hurried him.
I mean, so here's the stat on that,
what did they do wrong today? I don't think they did anything wrong.
They definitely gave up
15-yard penalties, which the one in the end zone
was stupid.
On McNichols.
What are we doing? Yeah, that there's a couple across the league today where I hope there's a memo that goes out and says, hey, don't be soft. It's football. These are adults. It's fine. Yeah. But not to get sidetracked on that, I think that the defense, like, yes, giving up chunk yardage is bad. Duh. Good analysis, Hoffman. They should give you a radio show. But the reality is, when you're a bend but don't break defense, part of that is just a risk you're going to have to take, that at times we're going to have light boxes and we're going to make sure that we don't get beat over the top and teams are going to get us in a light box. And they got a couple times, and they're getting got on game plan runs a lot. It's something that I'm excited to go back and watch on tape, just from like a knowledge acquisition standpoint. It's like, okay, how many of these are on some of these traps and counters and some of these plays where they're using the defensive line's aggressiveness against them? Because it seems like guys are just running themselves out of gaps all over the place, but sometimes like you live with that, and then the next time they hit it wrong, or the defensive lineman hits it right, and it's a minus two. And okay, if that's happened on back-to-back plays, sure, you gave up 15 yards, but now it's second and 12. So you live with that stuff. I think it's worth noting, the opening drive, Forbes, I don't think, played at all. So when he came in, the defense, you know, at least statistically speaking, got better. How much of that is causation versus correlation, we'll have to watch the tape to find out. But I think generally, like, I also appreciate the fact that Joe Witt wasn't scared. And I actually wrote at some different points in the game, Cliff is not scared and Joe Witt is not scared. And that's a nice thing to write in your notes about your coordinators, because Joe was willing to play some one-on-one on the outside. They traveled BSJ with Marvin Harrison. I didn't think that was going to be a thing.
They did.
Yeah. And he did a great job.
Yeah. And something that I've noticed with Witt Jr., and I love it, is when they do get some advantageous down in distance, they don't sit back. Like the second and tens, and there were four of them, I think, in the first half, I think they blitzed on three of them. And they came after him, and they got a couple of their sacks on second down, I believe.
They also did such a great job rushing. They did such a great job rushing with discipline too. You know, you mentioned like some of the flushes with Dorrance, right? Do you know how many carries Kyler had?
I'm gonna guess like maybe two. I can't remember him running actually. One carry.
He had one carry in the game. And think of how many quarterbacks have killed this team. There's something I was terrified about in this game, because Kyler he had a couple big ones against Detroit. He had a couple big ones against LA. He had a couple against Buffalo where he gets out. And obviously he had a couple, I think, tonight where he makes a play or two on the run and like, okay, fine with the arm, but he never gets out and scrambles, never converts the first downs. And we see with Washington's offense, the power of those things. When you can stay in good down and distance and turn sacks into even plus two, plus three, nevertheless, hey, it was second and nine, and you got pressure, and you gave up a first down. Like, those things are killers defensively. And the way they rush from outside in and collapse the pocket, especially against Kyler, who's a shorter quarterback, when that pocket collapses, he cannot see. It's very evident watching on tape. He cannot see. It's also evident based off physics. He's not going to be able to see. And so you saw that happen with frequency. And that is something this team has not done. They've gotten out of their rush lanes. They have left holes. Guys have not rushed with discipline and cohesion. And I think that's the other part of it that I'm excited to kind of watch back and confirm on the All-22 is, part of it is it feels like guys don't know quite how to play off each other. So they wind up leaving a little bit of extra space here, there, and guys have gotten through, or it allows blocks to hit a little easier. I think they played together tonight defensively more than they have in the previous three games. And if they can do that, yes, they're still going to give up some yards. No, I don't think they're going to magically transform over the next, 10 weeks into a top 10 defense, but they can be a lot closer to the middle. And if this offense is playing anything remotely close to what it is and the defense is in the middle, throw away all your expectations for the season. That's a contender.
If the defense,
it's a lot of ifs there, but like
defense played like a mid-tier defense, this team offensively is good enough to win double-digit games. There's no
doubt. By the way, they got some turnovers too. right? And that's another huge deal. They almost have one. What was it? Was it the opening kickoff? They had one on.
Yeah, the ball was there. The opening kickoff.
You know, they have the one one late. I thought Forbes had a chance at the completion he gave up on the sideline to Wilson. I'm like, in 3 weeks, when Forbes has been playing a little bit, knock some rust off. Like, can he pick that off? So there's hopefully more to come, because the more comfortable they get with the play style, the more comfortable they get with the scheme, hopefully then you got the basics down and you can start doing the extra stuff, and the extra stuff is the playmaking.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a week-to-week situation.
That is also true.
Matchups mean everything. I'm one of the things that I made a note right at the end of the game, I want to go back and watch to see if they loaded the box early in the game against Connor, and he still ran it because Percy Butler was up there. Chin was up there. And I, by the way, I'd be doing that too. I mean, I'd rather give up the big play if Kyler can make it from the pocket with a contain rush, rather than getting sliced and diced the way it happened on that opening drive. Because how many yards did he have on that opening drive, Connor? I mean, it was a bunch. 16,
yeah, he wound up with 104 for the game. So
he had 34 yards rushing on the opening drive on five carries. So yeah, they've got to. I think you can win more games than you lose with a bad defense. But I don't think you can win once you get to the postseason with a bad defense. And I think it all starts with, you've got to be effective stopping the run, especially when you're not consistent with a pass rusher coverage. That's my biggest concern, is that they still just give up way too much. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. It was 5.7 yards today. Connor was 5.8. Benson was 5.6. So that's three straight weeks of 6 yards. Right around 6 yards a carry.
Yeah, I will say, that way. You definitely can't yet. They've won both of those games. And yes, I think part of it is game situation, right? Is like, I will give the Cardinals some level of credit. They didn't abandon the run. But when you run the football in situations where you probably should start thinking about abandoning the run, there's going to be holes to run the football. So, you know, you lose some of those potential, hey, if this is a closer game, do you play heavier boxes, or you run blitzing, or are you doing some of that stuff where you're playing coverage and playing the clock game later, that could bring the average down. So, you know, that's why, like, some of the stats people do their stats, you know, first and second down only in the first half is a true measure of a team. And I'm like, that seems a little narrow for me, but I understand if you're trying to understand the essence and the core of who a team is, to try to figure out if they're good at something, when the clock starts impacting the statistics, it is something that's worth watching, which is why you go back and watch it on tape and try to get your context that way. But
yeah, speaking of the clock, and I thought this guy, everybody's talked about just the poise and the, you know, it's like he's already playing like a veteran. There were multiple times on a couple of key third downs, that first pitch sweep to Brian Robinson Jr. on their first drive, I think it was a third and two, you know, there was a defensive substitution, and the Cards did the right thing, take their time after Washington substituted, and that play clock was ticking down, and I'm like, I don't know, it's going to be really close. And he's just waited for the referee to back out, stepped under center, and snapped it and pitched it. They didn't look like they were ready to call a timeout. He wasn't looking over to call timeout. They had the right play. God, that play was so well blocked. He's definitely beyond his years in terms of kind of the cool and the poise that he shows in these games and those situations that tend to rattle first-year quarterbacks. You know, play clock, getting the play in, getting it out. He just seems, I mean, do they have we seen, I think we've seen one or two of them in the first four games, timeouts because of play clock potential.
They had a couple snafus in the last couple of weeks, but you know, they get it figured out. I mean, the funny thing is the one that was nearly a snafu last week was the 3rd-and-7 touchdown to Terry, because they drew up a play on the sideline and not everyone was sure what the play was. Yeah. And Jaden was basically to the left side of the left side of the offense. He was like, just be in a legal formation. I don't care what you're doing. I'm throwing to him. Just stop moving. Shut up, Luke. Stop. Yeah. Move. Okay, set hut. Bang. Well, I'm going to get smashed in the face and throw a touchdown.
The play before that. I think they actually, or they had to take a timeout in the play before that because there was some confusion there.
Right.
But by and large, the operation is really smooth.
Yeah. I think in general, the attention to detail with this team is really impressive. We can wrap up here. Is like the attention to detail from Quinn. You know, the challenge system seems to work. They obviously got the one today on the turnover. They have the substitutions that have been mostly pretty good. A couple of hiccups, I think, in the Tampa game, but they've gotten those things ironed out. They don't seem to make the same mistake twice. I mean, right now they're not making a ton of mistakes, period, but they're not making the same mistakes twice. That's refreshing. And then from a detail standpoint, I was listening to Colt McCoy on with Keim actually earlier in the week on his podcast. And Colt talked about how with Cliff, it's kind of straightforward. It's just like, hey, if I tell you to line up on the inside edge of the numbers, just line up on the inside of the edge of the numbers. Like, don't make it harder than it has to be. Don't be figuring out all this. I said line up on the inside edge of the numbers, so be there. And so all these splits and the formations and the things that they're doing are detailed up really well, and thus they work better. And so it's funny because last year we heard about with some of the coaches, like, oh, detail this, whatever that, and then it was a mess. And I think this year they, you know, it wasn't last year, like, the idea was good. The execution was poor on the, hey, we need to be a lot more detail oriented. This year, they've gotten that right. And obviously we see the results. All right. You got a player or something on tomorrow. You're waiting on a phone call right now. So we're going to end this show and let you go. And then you have to tune into the Kevin Sheehan show tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the Team 980. Also check out the Kevin Sheehan show podcast. And Kevin will be there. Appreciate you doing this, man.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
Yep, you got it. And of course, Take Command. We'll be back with the film review later on in the week. So you can check us out there on Tuesday. Logan will be back from Arizona. We'll watch all the tape. And then I will, of course, have the Hoffman Show on the radio tomorrow, 4 to 7 p.m. Too many things to plug. Too much time balancing. 4 to 7 on the Team 980. You can watch my show here on YouTube as well. And if you are subscribed to the Team 980, you will get an alert around 11 a.m. tomorrow for a live YouTube stream because we will, actually around 10:30, we will be live from Wizards Media Day. So we are doing our third annual Wizards Media Day live stream only show. Those interviews will also make the radio eventually as we get closer to the season. Can't believe it, but the Wizards open training camp on Tuesday, 10:30 a.m. sharp tomorrow on YouTube. I will be talking to Wizards General Manager Will Dawkins. So do not be late for that. I also have Jordan Poole, Kyle Kuzma, Brian Keefe, Alex Saar, Keyshawn George, and Corey Kispert, who's been incredible. My favorite Media Day interview 3 years running. So we'll see what nonsense Corey and I get into. Last year, we wound up talking in Scottish accents. So there's that. As for the football, don't forget, 1st and 10 starts our show tomorrow. 10 observations from the game at 4 o'clock. And then again, for Take Command, we'll see you coming up on Tuesday. Thanks so much for watching. If you're watching us live on YouTube at 106.7 The Fan, at the Team 980, at Craig Hoffman. And then, of course, if you are listening to this later, thanks for doing that. And make sure you're subscribed wherever you are listening, Apple, Spotify, or of course, the free Odyssey app. We will see you next time on Take Command. Have a good night, everybody. Enjoy the win.